Hello, and welcome to this special Good Friday service, a service of shadows. If you're not familiar with a service of shadows, Pastor Jerry Brooks will be up here in just a moment to share a little bit more about the structure and significance of our time together. For those that are watching live on Facebook, please click the share button on this video and let people know how you're commemorating this historic event of Good Friday. We also have pastors that are ready to interact with you as you share your prayer requests and your location in the comments section. The focus today is to remember the sacrifice and the heavy price that Jesus paid for our sins. To help commemorate this sacrifice, we've changed all the images on our social media profiles to the images you're seeing on the screen right now. It has a verse on it, Matthew 27, verse 50. We'll read that verse in just a little bit. And so we encourage you to do the same on your social media profiles. You can download it on our Facebook page right now. And there's also a little description for our upcoming Easter services that you can share. The whole point of this is to direct people to Jesus and help remember his incredible sacrifice. So let's get ready to worship the Lord right now, and as we remember what he did for us at the cross.
Let's sing this together. There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. Where streams of grace flow deep and wide. It's all the love I've never found. Flows like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrendered my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your blood ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless. Where my heart has peace with God in forgiveness. It's all the love I've never. Comes like a flood, comes flowing.
name of Jesus. Worthy is the name of Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. We thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are here with us today. We give you our attention. We lean into your word and into your spirit, that you would lead us and speak to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, we're so thankful that you've joined us for this very special Good Friday service. You know, it was almost 700 years before Jesus was born that the prophet Isaiah prophesied, saying, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. For those living in the land where death's shadow casts, a light has come." And today, We want to walk in the shadows with Christ through the last few hours, leading closer and closer to the cross. We've taken readings today, leading us down that path, and split them up into 7 different readings and also 7 different candles representing the light of the world leaving the earth. Today, you're going to see leaders of our church lead us through these readings. And as we do, we encourage you to read along with us. We encourage you to imagine with us what it was like for the hope itself to suffer on a cross. So you'll see those videos, but before you do, Pastor Brooks is going to share a brief message with us. And then at the very end of the service, Pastor's going to come back to read the 7th and final reading to conclude our service. Let's turn our attention now to Pastor Brooks as he shares with us today.
Good afternoon and welcome. We're delighted that you're with us for this very special Good Friday noon service. Good Friday is a day when Christians all around the world pause and reflect on the supreme sacrifice that Jesus so willingly made for the salvation of all of mankind. The Lord's final hours of suffering on the cross and his death lasted up to somewhere around 6 hours. And for the next few moments, what we're going to do is we're going to laser focus on a timeline. And this timeline would be that of Jesus' last moments before he gives his life on Calvary. We're going to talk about his arrest, his trial, the crucifixion, and the death that is recorded so clearly in Scripture. Now, it's important to note as we begin this journey this afternoon that there are details that we have to kind of fill in the blanks on when it comes to the exact timeline. But I believe that we can do so rather safely because Scripture gives us enough waypoints that we can know what happens in between them and set some time, and we can set kind of moments by which this may have happened. So let's begin our journey. Let's start on Thursday evening. Scripture records the Last Supper. Jesus said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. The New Testament is starting here in the upper room." As he broke the bread, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And as he took the cup, he said, "This cup is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." The Bible says they sang a song and they left the upper room. And from the upper room, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane was Jesus' very special prayer hideout. I think all of us have a special place that we like to get alone and to pray. The Garden of Gethsemane was that place for Jesus. So he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, followed by his disciples. Scripture records Jesus now is praying with such intensity there in the Garden of Gethsemane that he begins to sweat drops of blood. And he's crying out, "Father, if there's any way this cup can pass from me, let it be so. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." While Jesus is interceding, he goes back to his disciples and he finds them fast asleep. And he says, "Can you keep awake for even an hour and intercede with me?" And Jesus went back to pray again. And again he prayed, "Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, may it be so." But again, he returns back and finds his disciples sleeping. And he says, "Sleep on, the hour has come. My betrayer is at hand." Enter now the arrival of Judas, the betrayer. And he comes with a detachment of soldiers and temple guards. They're armed with weapons as though they're coming after some common thief. Jesus now is betrayed by Judas with a kiss. A kiss is often by most of us considered to be that very special relationship whereby we greet each other. It's a sign of affection. It's a sign of love. But now it's a sign of betrayal to identify which one should be arrested. They took in that moment and had agreed that when he gives the kiss to whomever it is, That's the one to arrest. And he gives Jesus a kiss. Hence, from that moment on, there has been a saying that has been global, the kiss of death. And it all refers back to that kiss on the cheek there by Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus then is taken into custody. The religious leaders, they had already planned that it would be nothing less than a death sentence. And so they condemn him rather readily to death. Annas first, which is the ex-high priest, and then he's taken over to Caiaphas, the ruling high priest. And both of them have concluded that there's only one thing to be done with this Jesus, and that is to have him crucified. Now, it's very early now on Friday morning. Before the religious leaders could put Jesus to death, they needed Rome's approval for the death sentence. Jesus then was taken to Pontius Pilate. And after trying and listening to him, he says, "I find no reason for this man to be crucified. I find no fault in him." Pilate then, wanting to get rid of this case, he sends him off to Herod. Herod happened to be in Jerusalem, the Bible says, at that time. Jesus refused to even talk to Herod. When he would question him, he would answer nothing. Although Pilate found Jesus innocent, he once again now has the trial back in his lap, in his hands. And he fears the crowd. And so, out of fear of the crowd, he sentenced Jesus to death. Jesus was beaten. He was mocked. A crown of thorns was placed upon his brow. And even after all this beating, nearly dead from the beating itself, he is made to carry his own cross through the streets of Jerusalem on the way to Calvary. Now back to our specific timeline. It's approximately 6 a.m. when Jesus stands trial before Pilate. Pilate then sent Jesus on over to Herod. All of this happening within a short span of time, approximately 6 o'clock in the morning. Matter of fact, this would have been in and of itself a breaking of the law, because the law said that there had to be due process, and in this due process, there had to be a series of time, moments given, and all these times were broken, rushing Jesus from one to the other. Now it's 7 a.m., and Jesus returns back from Herod to Pilate. This time, Pilate has him flogged. He is beaten mercilessly. And then Jesus is condemned to death. Now it's 8 a.m. in the morning. Jesus is led away there to Calvary. He carries his own cross through the streets of Jerusalem, which today we refer to as the Way of the Cross or the Via Dolorosa. As he makes his way winding through the streets of Jerusalem, carrying this heavy cross, the crowd round about is cruel. They're calling out names and they're making the journey in anguish as Jesus hears their taunts and hears their unkind words. It is now 9 a.m. The Bible calls 9 a.m. in the morning the third hour. Jesus is now crucified on a cross. Mark chapter 15 tells us this. It was the third hour when Jesus was crucified, meaning that is 9 o'clock in the morning in the Jewish timetable. From the cross, Jesus, there at 9 o'clock in the morning, approximately between 9 and the next moments of 10, in those moments, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." The soldiers could care less about forgiveness. For the Bible records that at the foot of the cross, there was a group of soldiers responsible for the crucifixion, and they now begin to cast lots for Jesus' clothing. It's now 10 a.m. Jesus is insulted and mocked while he's hanging on the cross. You say you're the Son of God. If you're really the Son of God, come down from this cross and prove it to us. And there's conversations taking place, all of which are so derogatory towards our Lord. And there he is on the cross. It's 10 a.m. At 11 a.m. approximately, Jesus points out to John and says, John, I want you to behold your mother, referring to Mary. Mary, this is your son. What Jesus was saying in his last moments of life on this planet, I have a concern for you, Mom, and I want someone to make sure that you're taken care of. John, take care of Mom. Mom, Mary, I want you to look at John as though he's your very son, and he'll watch out for you. He'll take care of you. Now it's noon. Noon is called the sixth hour in the Jewish timetable. And now suddenly there's an eerie darkness that covers all of the land. And it's pitch dark in the middle of the day. When it ought to be bright and shining sun, it's now darkened, as though the heavens itself cannot even bear to look upon the moment, and the sun refuses to shine. It's dark. 1 o'clock. Jesus cries out to the Father. And about at the ninth hour, which we know to be 1 p.m. now, Jesus cries out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you so forsaken me? The Bible says Jesus from the cross says, I thirst. And now it's 2 p.m. And from the cross at 2 p.m., he says, it is finished. All of salvation is now complete. And he declares, into thy hands I commit my spirit. It's 3 p.m. It's the ninth hour. Scripture records the death of Jesus. Interesting to note that the ninth hour, the twilight, that is the moment when the sacrificial lambs would be slain. Remember, John said, Jesus, you're the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so it's at the ninth hour that Jesus gives up his spirit. And the earth begins to quake. The temple of the veil is torn in two. Watching from a distance, this hardened centurion responsible to oversee the crucifixion, who had seen many, many strong men die, he says, truly, after seeing what I have seen, truly, this man is the Son of God. Friend, let me ask you, how do you see Jesus today? The one that died on the cross for you, the one that gave his very life's blood. The Bible says no man took his life, he willingly gave it. He gave it for our lives. The death sentence was upon us because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How do you see him today? I pray that in these next few moments, you too, like the centurion, you will come to the conclusion that truly, this is the Son of God. Truly, he is the Savior of the world. Truly, he is the one that I desire the most in my life. Yes, truly, this man was the Son of God. Father, I pray for each one. Lord, in this moment that is contemplating who you are, Lord, as we look at the timetable, anywhere along the way you could have stopped it all, for you are the mighty God, and you could have said enough is enough, but you went all the way through the plan of salvation. You gave your life for us so that we might have life and have it eternal. And Lord, today, we're going to focus upon that. In a generation that does not want to think about this kind of a love or this kind of a price that was paid, and wants to move on to the happy times of resurrection. And Lord, today we're simply not going to do that. We're going to focus. We're going to force ourselves to think about Calvary and to think about the price you paid for us. I pray, Lord, that these next moments will be life-changing for all. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
When it was evening, Jesus sat down at the table with the 12. While they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." Greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, "Am I the one, Lord?" He replied, "One of you who has just eaten from this bowl with me will betray me. For the Son of Man must die, as the Scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born." Judas, the one who would betray him, also asked, "Rabbi, am I the one?" And Jesus told him, "You have said it."
Then Jesus went with him to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, "Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done." When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. Then he came to the disciples and said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest, but look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here." And even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent by the leading priests and elders of the people. The traitor, Judas, had given them a prearranged signal. "You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss." So Judas came straight to Jesus. "Greetings, Rabbi," he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss. Jesus said, "My friend, go ahead and do what you have come for."
Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came over and said to him, "You were one of those with Jesus the Galilean." But Peter denied in front of everyone. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Later, out by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. "I don't even know the man," he said. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, "You must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent." Peter swore, "A curse on me if I am lying. I don't know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. Suddenly Jesus' words flashed to Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny 3 times that you even know me." And he went away weeping bitterly.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best of a world for lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the odor again, cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a
priests and the elders made their accusations against him, Jesus remained silent. "Don't you hear all these charges they are bringing against you?" Pilate demanded. But Jesus made no response to any of the charges, much to the governor's surprise. Meanwhile, the leading priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas to be released and for Jesus to be put to death. So the governor asked again, "Which of these two do you want me to release to you?" The crowd shouted back, "Barabbas." Pilate responded, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." "Why?" Pilate demanded. "What crime has he committed?" But the mob roared even louder, "Crucify him." Pilate saw that he wasn't getting anywhere and that a riot was developing. So he sent for a bowl of water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. The responsibility is yours." All the people yelled back, "We will take responsibility for his death, we and our children." So Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified.
And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink mingled with gall. And after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves, casting lots. And sitting down, they began to keep watch over him there. and they put up above his head the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." At that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross."
At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so that he could drink. But the rest said, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him." Then Jesus shouted out again and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, "This man truly was the Son of God."
Take the bread of life, broken for all my sin, your body crucified to make me whole again. I will recall the cup poured out in sacrifice, to trade the sinners in for your new covenant. Hallelujah, I live my life in remembrance. Thank you.
Thank God for his goodness to each and every one of us. When you look at the cross, it's a reminder of how much God loved a sinful world. The Bible says he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, if you're looking for life, it's found in Jesus. If you're looking for love, it's found in Christ. He's the one that loved you all the way to the cross. He's the one that said, "It is finished." All of redemption's work was complete. And when he died there on that cross, he did so for every one of us. So rather than being responsible for our own deaths and responsible for our own sin, we can have a Savior. If you do not have Christ in your life today, you're missing out on such an incredible blessing. Let me encourage you, open your heart right now. Say, "Jesus, come into my life. If you love me so much, you would die for me. My response back to you is, I will live for you." Give your heart to him. Your life will never be the same again. Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 through 60. As evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, who had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate issued an order to release it to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth. He placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left. Between now and Easter Sunday morning celebration, I encourage you to think about the incredible price that Jesus paid for us. So often we want to move directly to the resurrection and not think about the price. But I want you to think about how much he loved you and what he endured for you and what he's provided for you.